Okay. No control. You know I love to control. You all do too. Come on, don't give me that. Yeah. But so we're in the middle of a series about words. And if I had to say what I believe is probably the most foundational and important message that you need to get in you, I mean, from here to here is a big difference. It's understanding words. It's understanding what God's value on words is. And he valued words so much that he spoke this universe by words. And then our salvation comes by words. And we grow by words. So words is just a big thing, and it's just big in my heart. If you weren't here, go back and listen to the previous ones. Week one, we just pounded from every angle that this is the most important book, and these are the most important words, and these words in this book will change your life. Okay, in week two, we talked about these words not only will change your life, but they'll change other people's lives. And then in week three, we talked about words that we speak to just grab a hold of our mind and get it going in the right direction. Grab a hold of our emotions and get them going in the right direction so we can do and be and enjoy this life and be mighty upon the earth. And it all has to do with words. So today I'm going to hit it from a different angle. We're going to talk about words that are weapons. God's words that become weapons for protection in our life. All right? So that's where we're going today. So I did a little talking to Google around my house. You know, when you live alone, you can talk to Google. He answers back, okay? So I said, hey, Google, what are the top three New Year's resolutions that people make? And Google answered me. And 70% of people will make a New Year's resolution that has to do with their health. And I'm one of those. I was sitting there writing my list, you know, whether it's exercise or food or something like that. So 70% of people will talk to Google, no, will make a New Year's resolution starting today, or we'll give you to tomorrow if you're, you know, whatever. But the other one that they resolution has to do with finances, but 70% of people are talking about their health. And by the way, if this body's not healthy, it's just not going to go where it's supposed to go, do what it's supposed to do, or enjoy what it's supposed to do. So that's a good thing. So, you know, I made my New Year's resolution, and I don't care what you think about it, but then I blew it. Last night, I made it's just me. I made this big bowl of popcorn. And I didn't do the skinny popcorn. Mine is swimming with butter. Yeah, swimming. You know, at the end of the bowl, you lick it off the bottom. Okay. And I'm like, and then, you know, I did exercise. Okay. But I got up this morning. All right. I got up this morning. And I go, oh, gosh, geez whiz. Lord, I just repent. Yep, I repent. And, you know, also that chocolate cake. I just really repent. And I thank you. I need your help. Yeah, okay, I need your help. And then I pray this, okay? I said, Father, so I just thank you also that with your stripes I'm healed. And I thank you no sickness, no disease can attach itself from my body. And I thank you my body is operating and going to be strong in Jesus' name. Now, I have to say, you can't just do that. That popcorn swimming in butter is my part, okay? There's, you know, we have a body. Everybody say, my body. The temple of God. Okay, so, but, you know, the least I can do after I blow it is to do that and pray, all right? The least you can do after you blow it, besides repent, and is pray. And so what am I actually doing when I pray that? You know what you're doing? You're actually putting a shield of protection around your body. All right? And you can do that in any area of your life. You can release a shield. Okay, but today's starting again, day one. All righty? So I have a main idea, a big idea, the main thing I want you to walk out that you're going to hear over and over and over. And some of you, what I'm going to share, you're going to go, oh, golly gee, Pastor D, I know this. Oh, do you know this? Or do you know this? And I want to challenge you, because I have been challenged in the last couple of months as I've been studying this and just really working it back in my life. But I want to challenge you to raise the bar, okay? And some of you are like, whoa, I never heard that. That is just awesome. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Here's our main idea. Ready? God's word on our lips. God's word on our lips can produce weapons of mass protection. Boy, talk about not getting it out. So God's word on our lips can produce weapons of mass protection in our life. Okay? They can. They can and they do. All righty? So we need to know that God has given us a shield. We need to know that God has given us a sword, and we need to know how to release that, all right? Because God's word on our lips can produce weapons of mass protection. I don't know why I'm goofing on that one, all right? So today, though, I'm going to deal a lot with healing. It's my main emphasis today is healing, all righty? And I realize many of you, like me, you've prayed for certain things, and it just didn't work the way you prayed, all right? I've prayed for people. I'll never forget this first time. I went to the hospital. It's just a newbie as Pastor D. I went to the hospital, and I prayed for this guy for healing. Until I got back in the office, Jack said, oh, by the way, they just called. The guy died. I was like, what? I just prayed. So I've had times, anybody else, where your prayer just looked like it just didn't go where you want it to go, all right? And so I want to encourage you, and I've encouraged myself, and I'm like, that's okay. But I want to encourage you to shoot for the stars. Shoot for all the promises of God. And if you don't hit the big star up here and you hit the moon, that's okay. I'm off the ground, all right? So I want you to keep swinging. I want you to keep saying what God says, regardless of whatever happened over there, all right? So I want to encourage some of you, you need to start praying again. You need to start speaking God's word again, all right? So everybody go, yes, Pastor D, I will, I promise, okay? Okay. And now I realize there's people that have big things in their body. Like they need a miracle. They need a liver. They need a heart, okay? And I've talked with them, you know, people that have these big things going on in their body. And I love them because there are people here. And they always say, Pastor D, I'm believing for a miracle. I'm believing for a recovery. I said, amen. And I always encourage him, but don't stop speaking for everything else. Keep speaking God's word, all right? If you're on for the biggie, that's okay, but keep speaking. So we're going to talk about speaking life over our bodies, speaking life, all right? So there's this guy. His name is Mark Hankins. I took a group of girls with me in the car. We drove to Lancaster to hear him, and I don't know him personally, but I've been listening to his stuff and reading his books for like 30 years, Mark Hankins, and he's got that twanging accent from Louisiana, okay, but I really think he's almost like a stand-up comedian, all right? So I remember reading this in one of his books. He said, you know, he was a kid, and I did this. Anybody as a kid, you turn your bike upside down, and then you turn the paddle. And then what, you put sticks in there, make noise. Did anybody do that? Yeah, you're normal. You're a healthy kid. Go out and play. Turn off those electronics. Turn your bike upside down. Wah, wah, wah. Well, Mark was just a little kid, and he put his finger in there, and he lost his finger. I know, gross you out, wake you up, okay? And he shared in his book that, you know, he's many times people will come up and it says, well, if God heals, why doesn't he grow your finger, Mr. Mark? And he said, and now he was really funny. He's just like hysterical. And he just kind of gets you, slaps you when he's funny. You don't even know you got slapped. Okay. And he says, but the real deal is that's a recreative miracle. Okay. And there's certain components that are in a recreative miracle. But I'm going to shoot for the stars, baby. You got something that needs a miracle? Grab my hand. I'm praying for that, okay? But today, we're specifically talking about speaking life over our bodies, okay? That's what we're going to talk about, and over any situation. So we're going to talk about armor, all right? Armor. So guess what chapter we're going to be in? Ephesians 6. Open up your Bibles. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians 6. Okay? Ephesians 6. Because this chapter has to do with weapons. How many of you guys have some weapons at your house? How many of you have them under your bed? I know. Oh, I can't tell you the secret. How many of you have them locked up? How many of you have them in the top drawer in your dresser? Okay. Yeah, okay. Anyway, weapons. I like weapons. Okay, so let's read this, though. This is the Word of God. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 10. A final word. By the way, this is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul knew a lot about this. Okay, I'm kind of jumping ahead. Let me, I'll say that. I'll say it. Oh, that was so good. I'm going to save it. Okay, hang on. Okay, 10. Final word. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor. Notice what you have to do. I'm not doing it for you. What do you have to do? Put on the armor so that, in other words, if you put this armor on, this is what's going to happen. So that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. Okay, guys, the devil has a ton of strategies. Sometimes they're natural things that he'll use against you, and he can come at us with spiritual, and he can come at us with temptation. He comes at you with all sorts of things. He is not sitting around just watching TV. He has strategies, okay? But listen, the only way you're going to fight him and win is if you put on the armor of God, okay? And we're going to go look at this. So how do I put it on? Good. Glad you asked. Here we go. Verse 14 and 15, but let me say this. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's talking about armor. He's comparing a spiritual armor to the Roman soldiers, and he knew a lot about that. He spent 10 years locked up in Roman prisons, and he was surrounded many times by many of these Roman soldiers. So he comes at a perspective, and he starts describing what they are and what we have, okay? So verse 14, stand your ground, put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Okay, so the first piece of armor that you put on is not your shoes. It is not your hat. The first piece that the Roman soldier put on was a belt. And it wasn't a skinny little belt with little rhinestones on it, okay? This was this big, wide belt, almost like a girdle they put this on. And it wasn't pretty. It was made of a heavy leather, okay? So that was the first piece that the Roman soldier put on. That is the first piece, all right? Now, it's very strategic because when you put this first piece on, then you can put on the breastplate, and it actually hooks on to this belt. And then if you've got this belt on, you can also, you know, if you're not in battle and you got to take off your pretty little hat, there's a hook on it. You can hook it on your belt, all right? Some of you leave your hats and coats all around. You need this belt, okay? So you've got your belt. And you could hook on your shield and your sword. So the belt was strategic, okay? And here's the thing. The belt is called the belt of truth. And Jesus said, thy word is truth, okay? So this is the belt, this is the truth, all right, of God's word. So again, it's interesting. It's the first thing that goes on, and it's in the center. In the center. And you know what that does to me? That just paints a picture that when we put the Word of God in us, you know, I love when I get teaching little kids, bring your Bibles. I didn't bring my Bible. Why? I don't know. I can't find it. When was the last time you found it? Oh, about a month ago. Okay. All right. But no, we don't do that. We read our Bibles. Okay. So, but this is painting a picture that as we get the Word of God in us first, we get the Word of God first in us, okay? It becomes our belt of truth. And then we can step out in the righteousness of God. And then we can put on the shield and our sword. But what goes first, everybody? The belt of truth, the word of God, all right? Let's jump down to verse 16. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, all right? So this shield, what's it called? The shield of faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing what? The Word of God. That's you cracking open your Bible and reading it and getting it inside of you, okay? And then it becomes faith. So that's your shield that you can then release, okay? And the second one is the sword. The sword is called the Word of God, right? So we have these two things. We've got the sword and we've got the shield, and both of it refers to words that are coming out of your mouth, but it really refers to these words coming out of your mouth, all right? And then when we do that, we end up with a lot of good stuff happening in our life, all right? So let's just dig into this armor. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Ready? Our shield protects us before and during a battle. Our shield protects us before and during a battle. All right, they're going to put a picture up of a Roman soldier. Come on, guys, this is good. All right. So this shield, so we're going to talk about Rome, the Roman Empire and the Romans, all right? And they had developed this really a strategy in battles. They developed the shield wall. Anybody ever hear about that, the shield wall, all righty? And nobody could beat them when they broke out the shield wall, and I'll describe a little bit of what that looks like, okay? Nobody could beat them, but eventually the Roman Empire, and they conquered the then known world. I mean, they were just conquer, 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 and they just had territories and territories, okay? But nobody could conquer them until they started exploding, or I guess it would be imploding on the inside, and then the Roman Empire crumbled. So have you ever seen these buildings that they're going to tear down, okay? And they go in and they strategically plant some dynamite over here, some dynamite over here, some dynamite over here, and then somebody outside says, hit it, boom, and you watch this building just come down, right? Have you ever seen that on TV? It's fascinating, okay? And that's the Roman Empire. There were things going on in the inside. They had whack job emperors. Is that not a polite thing to say? Okay. That was okay. All right. He was a whack job. He wanted people to worship him and build this beautiful temple, and they weren't just buying it, hook, line, and sinker. So he goes and starts a fire through half of Rome so that all that's left is his little pretty temple. I mean, a whack job. And he wanted people to worship him, okay? Plus, internally, so that's internally what's going on in the government, okay? And then there was such immorality, like you cannot believe, going on. All these things were going on in the Roman Empire. And eventually, it crumbled. But they weren't beat on the battlefield. They were beat internally. So that's my history lesson for you, okay? But back to this. So different countries would try to come in and defeat them on the battlefield, and at some point, the northern countries, which we would call the Vikings now, okay, they were coming in to defeat, go to battle with Rome, okay, and the Roman Empire, the Roman soldiers pull out their shield wall, and they were getting whooped. The Vikings got whooped, but they were pretty smart, because after a while, and the Roman Empire fell, they were like, ooh, that is a good one. I like that shield wall. Okay, so this is what a shield wall is. Ready? The soldiers would all, so they're being attacked, okay? And people are shooting arrows and throwing their spears at it, and somebody yells, wall! And they take their big shields. They weren't these cute little round ones. They take these shields and they hook together, okay? They hook them in a circle around them and above them. So you may be shooting things, but it's hitting your shield and dropping to the ground, okay? And then you know, then they have these special guys. They undo, they take a couple of the shields off, and they start shooting their arrows, okay, at the enemy. And then, so that's how they defeated him, with a shield wall. It was their protection. Nobody could defeat them. So why do I tell you all that? Because I think it's so fascinating. But how about God has given you a shield to protect you in life, okay? And it's the Word of God that you get inside here, that you meditate on, and that you speak, okay? And it becomes a shield in your life. That's pretty good. I like that, Pastor D. I thought it was pretty cool, okay? All right? So let me tell you a story. I remember this like it was yesterday, and it was like decades ago. But we were at Bible school, and one of the teachers got up and told a story. Now, he had been teaching about speaking words of life that month, speaking words of life like we're going to share today over your circumstances, over your body. And he comes up and he tells a story, and I was like, what? So he said he was having some problems with his body, and he goes to the doctor, okay? Now, again, let me back up. He has been teaching us what he's been doing about speaking life over his body, circumstances, all right? So anyway, so he's having troubles with body, goes to the doctor, and he has a bowel obstruction, okay? And they find out it's a cancerous tumor, and he's like, whoa, he was totally shocked. And the guy's in his late 30s. I know he wasn't 40 at that time when he was telling the story. So he was shocked, but he has been speaking life over his body, okay? Speaking life. So they go and do the surgery, and after the surgery, the doctor comes out. He says, I have never had this happen before. I've never done this. He says, this tumor was like it was encased, and I could just lift it out. Amen. Like, picture a balloon with some creepy thing on the inside. He said, I just literally just picked it out, okay? And of course, the professor's like, yeah, that's good. But he said this to us as a class. He says, I really believe the results of that was because I was continually speaking life over my body. Yeah, but Pastor D, what if he didn't, right? So just seeding that thought in you, okay? So I'm going to share a text next. It's in Isaiah, all righty? And you may be here and you may believe something different than what I'm going to share. That's okay. So here's my challenge. As I share this scripture and I tell you how I believe it's interpreted, and I don't agree with you, Pastor D, would you do me a favor? Go home tonight and pray. Father God, if Pastor D's wrong, show her. All right? And if I'm right, okay? So as I go and I teach on this scripture, if you're like, and you still, like, disagree with this, just pray for me. Besides, I can use prayer, okay? Just say, okay? And you know why? The person I was in my limited knowledge 30 years ago, I had my eyes open to some dumb stuff I was believing, okay? Really dumb. Do you remember when we were running around cutting up pictures of owls because they were demonic and all this goofy stuff, Jim? I remember this. We were just... Okay, so you can grow, all right? We did some goofy things, and found out it wasn't in the Word of God. So I was praying, God opened. So I do this today. Recently, we were at a conference, and this speaker was, I was like, I don't know if I believe all that. And I went home, and I said, Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes as I read the scripture. Give me a wisdom to understand what's going on, okay? Because we need to grow. Everybody say grow. All right. I don't have all the answers yet. Okay, Isaiah 53. I'm going to read this out of the Jewish Bible, okay, because they pick some words that just really go, woo, all right? So, by the way, you all know, the Old Testament is the Jewish Bible, right? It's written in Hebrew, okay? And I'm going to read these scriptures here, and I want you to know and see. This is a beautiful picture of Jesus dying on the cross. It's a beautiful picture what happened when he died on the cross and what our benefits there. And as a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter would preach out of this text, Isaiah 53. Because, you know, when they were running around preaching the good news, the Bible hadn't quite yet been written, okay? And they knew these scriptures. There's a lot of Old Testament scriptures, okay, that are these big beams of light. This is Jesus! This is Jesus in the Old Testament, okay? So this Isaiah 53 was, so the Jews could see Jesus. And for all of us that aren't Jews, so I could see Jesus, all right? So Isaiah 53, ready? Isaiah 53, again, this has to do with our shield protects us before and during a battle. Isaiah 53, here we go. Verse 1, who believes the report? All right, by the way, the Apostle Paul in Romans 10, quotes this. He's back on the Old Testament side, okay? So, all right, just thought it was cute. Here we go. Who's believed the report? To whom is the arm of Adonai revealed? That's meaning God. For him, he grew up like a young plant, a root out of dry ground. He was not well formed or especially handsome. We saw him, but his appearance did not attract him. Okay, so what's he saying? Jesus in his body, he wasn't a looker. He's not on the cover of whatever magazine for the 10 hottest men in Jerusalem that year, okay? He's not a looker going on there, okay? And, you know, I think, now remember, this is Jesus. Jesus always existed. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus was there doing the creation thing, okay? But he came to earth, and he's walking around in this body, and he wasn't a looker. I probably, you know, walk right by him, all right? But I really believe God did this for a reason, so we would not be attracted to, ooh, he's so cute, that we'd be interested in who Jesus really is, okay? So, if you're not a looker, guess what? You can do big things for Jesus. Amen. Okay, verse 3, here we go, verse 3. Y'all with me? Okay, verse 3. People despised and avoided him, a man of pains, well acquainted with illness, like someone from whom people turn their faces and was despised. We did not value him. All right. The majority of the Jewish masses, when Jesus was preaching, they would listen, okay? They would listen to him, all right? Okay, but the religious guys, man, they were a pain in the knee, right? They despised, they hated, they were just so bad, okay? So, but when Jesus went on the cross, when Jesus was dying on the cross, nailed to the cross, people changed. Those that thought they would like to listen to him, they changed, and they started hating Jesus. They hated him when he was on the cross. Like, you said you were the Son of God. Look, you're being punished because of what you said, okay? So there's a big, you know, you can't follow a crowd. They don't get upset with them. They just change their mind, okay? So listen, keep going. Let's go on to verse 4. In fact, it was our diseases he bore and our pains from which he suffered. Yet we regarded him as punished, stricken, and afflicted by God. So here's all he's saying. As Jesus is being beaten, as he's on the cross, okay, people are saying, you're getting what you deserve. You said you were the Son of God. You're just blaspheming. God's punishing you, okay? Nice people, right? All right? Okay. But notice this part. Go back here where it says, it was our diseases he bore. Okay, another way of translating that, you can translate is diseases and sicknesses, right? And then the word, when it comes down to pains, he bore our pains, it's also means our injuries. And I don't know, since I got a little younger, there seem to be some injuries creeping up here. So I like this one, all right? So all it's saying is our diseases, our sicknesses, our pains, our injuries, he carried them. Okay, that's what it is, because this is telling about what Jesus did. Now, verse 5 wraps it up. Listen to this section here. But he was wounded because of our crimes. He was crushed because of our sins. The disciplining that makes us whole fell on him. And by what? His bruises or his stripes, we are healed. All right? So, what is it saying? That Jesus carried our sicknesses, our diseases, our pains, our injuries, our sorrows, okay? And we'll go into more detail on that. But I want to read this now out of another translation. The guy's named Robert Young. He's since gone on to heaven, but he wrote Young's, what's it called? Literal, thank you. Literal translation. So he was a Greek scholar. and a Hebrew scholar, okay? Now listen to what he says for this one. Ready? Surely our sicknesses he bore, and our pains he carried them. This is past tense. I got to say that. This happened, okay? He has carried them. And we have esteemed him with plague, smitten of God and afflicted. And he is pierced for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is on him. And by his stripes or bruises, there is healing to us. All right. Now, you interview any Bible scholar, any denomination, okay? They will all say this. They all agree that Jesus bore sickness and disease and pain on the cross. Okay, they all agree. Finally, I got them all in the room and they agree. But, you know, start the sentence with, but this is where they disagree. This is where they get nasty, okay? And this is where they disagree is when. Did that happen? What we just read? For when we get receive glorified bodies in the future, or is that for now? All right. So that's the question. That's where the argument is. When, okay? And there's a big split on what people believe. All right. So I just want to tell you that I am 100% convinced it's for now. Amen. It's for now. If you disagree, pray for me. Okay. And I'll pray for you, all righty? But this is why I speak over my life, because I believe it's now, right? So a couple weeks ago, we read James chapter 5, right? New Testament. It says, if anyone's sick, let them call for the elders. And you can even break that, what that means. Let them call for the elders, okay? And they'll anoint you with oil, or they'll just lay hands on you. And the prayer of faith will heal. So I read that and I go, God's saying healing's for now. I just, right? Now. Everybody say now. You know, I kid around and I say, you know, someday my glorified body in heaven will be a size 2. I think I'm up to size 8, but whatever. But, you know, that's that. But I believe for now. I am 100%, okay? And people ask me this a lot. Pastor D, do you go to doctors? Yes. Pastor D, do you take medicine? Yes. And a week ago, this stinking flu was trying to stick on me, and thank you, I would have not done Christmas Eve service because I had to take some medicine, all right, just to get me up here, okay? But this is what I tell people. I can use all the help I can get. You can use all the help you can get, but why not use your shield also? Why not speak God's word, okay? So I appreciate doctors, okay? I do. I appreciate medicine, okay? But why not? Everybody say, why not? Yeah. Why not, you know, have this shield and release it over your life, all right? So in more so in the Old Testament, there's different names that reveal the character of God, that tell you more about the ins and outs of God, okay? And one of them, the name for God, is called Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah meaning the Lord, and Rapha meaning the healer, okay? And it even, you can break it down, and it means the Lord, my physician. Yes! Okay? The Lord, my physician. The Lord, my healer. All righty? So that's what I hold on to. That's what I'm speaking on my life because I believe Isaiah 53 is now. Everybody say now. Now is good. Now is good. Okay, so let's move on. How do you produce a shield in your life, okay? Okay. You know, I really wanted to deal with this, especially from the pandemic up to now. It was a doozy, okay? And, you know, I don't care if you got vaxxed or you didn't. I don't care if you believe in masks or you didn't. But, you know, how about a little extra help? Why not speak God's word? Why not throw out a shield and a sword, right? Okay, so that's just where I am. Alrighty. So let's talk about what Jesus has to say, some things about a shield and a sword. So open up to Mark 11. Very famous. All my graduates of Rhema, you better be able to recite this. Okay, Mark 11. Okay, Mark 11. This is Jesus, and he's talking about swords and shields, right? I need a drink. Here I go. I'm going to start in Mark 11, verse 12. Okay. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, this is Jesus and his disciples, Jesus was hungry. Verse 13. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Verse 14. And then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say this. Okay, here's my question. Was Jesus having a hangry moment? I need a Snicker bar. Right, that commercial, I need a fig, and I'm just going to curse you because I didn't get a Snicker bar fig, all righty? Listen, have you ever, this happened, a couple months ago, I'm running around my house with my bare toes are bare, without socks, and I whip around and I hit the corner door. I curse you, door. I did not, okay? I curse you figs, all right? Listen, Jesus knew when the season was. But what's really going on here, guys, okay? Object lesson. I love children's ministry. Object lesson is the most exciting thing to kids, okay, downstairs, all right? So what is he doing is he's going to teach them something as an object lesson, all right? Everybody say object lesson. All righty. And we're going to see this as we go on and read the rest of Mark 11, okay? But Jesus is not telling you to go around and mountain move. Rocky Mountains, move, because it takes too long to get over you, okay? Trees, cursed. Okay, wouldn't that be nice? Like if your neighbor had a big tree on the border of your property and this big limb is hanging over in your yard and it's dumping all these tree leaves, these leaves, and I got to curse that tree. For me, it would be poison ivy. Curse that thing. Curse it. Okay. All right. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, just me and poison ivy. We got a thing going on. Okay. But listen, whenever you see Jesus use something as an example, you have to see it two or three times spelled out so you can go curse that mountain in that tree, okay? Because right now, he is using an object lesson. It's a God principle, all right? So stop cussing out the tree. Say, this is an object lesson, all right? Okay, let me see, where are we at? Okay, so Jesus and the disciples, they went, run around, and they went home, and they went to bed, and they got up, okay? And the next day, verse 20, ready? In the morning, as they went along, they saw the tree withered from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." Okay, so just imagine you're going through the whole day with Jesus, and you're doing ministry things and doing this, and then you go home, back over here, and then you get up, brush your teeth, and you have breakfast with Jesus, and then you start out the door, and you go, "Whoa, Jesus! That's the tree that you cursed. Whoa, there's no leaves on it. They're all dead. And the wood is dead. It's dead, okay? And yesterday was this tree." Okay, would that have captured your attention? Okay, it did me, okay? It would you, okay? All right, so Jesus has just done an object lesson. He's done. Everybody say object lesson. Okay, he's just done, and he's done with the object lesson. Now, what's he going to do with this object lesson? Verse 22. Okay, verse 22, ready? "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. So I can just see Jesus. "Hey, boys, you know, I am the Son of God. I can do anything. Will you just have some faith and do what God does?" I could just see him doing this, okay? All righty. Now, back to my friend Robert Young. Robert Young, the Greek and the Greek and Hebrew. Okay, listen to this. Listen to what he says. And Jesus answered and said, "Have faith of God." So it used to bug me when I read some of these. I'm like, but Young and a whole bunch of these translators, they were word for word. When they translate it, It's not like the Message Bible. Anybody have the Message Bible? I love the Message Bible. It's fluffy and lots of words and things about today. But those Greek and Hebrew translators, like Young and these guys, word for word, they took the word in the Greek or the Hebrew, in this case it was the Greek, and they translated word for word. They wouldn't add anything in it. Now, our translations, we put the word the in there. Did that change the meaning of it? No. Okay? It's just the same, all right? So, what is he saying? He's saying, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Or better yet, like this. Hey, use your faith the way God does. Words. That's all he's saying there, okay? Listen, I can't recreate with my words the galaxy like Jesus did, okay? And I can't curse the Rocky Mountains like Jesus did. But you and I have words that we can release in faith, and they will change things in our life. Amen? All right. So let's go to verse 23 and see what happens next. Here we go, verse 23. And Jesus, truly I say to you, if anyone says, he's talking about words, okay? He's talking about words. If anyone says, ready? I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. All he's saying is, you guys, use your words. Use God's word. Throw a shield out there. Throw a sword out there, okay? Okay, and so, but here's the deal. Believe. 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 So it's not magic words. Abracadabra. Blah, blah, blah. Okay? These are words that you believe. All right? And I appreciate if you believe me all the time. But I will tell you, you will do better to get into the Word of God. Meditate on that. It's where you are so convinced, and I believe. Ready? And then, so listen, I believe. And I speak. I'm speaking over my life. I'm speaking over this body. I'm speaking over all sorts of areas in my life because I believe, all righty? So, okay, let's see. And you know, again, I don't care, and I don't care if I have some failures. I don't care if it looks like it didn't work. I'm going to get up the next day, and I'm going to speak words. I'm going to speak God's word. All right? And you just wait. I'm going to hit some home runs. Right? Okay. Amen. Because I believe. All right. So I want to tell you what I do every morning. Sometimes I'm in bed. Other times I'm blow drying my hair and I'm doing this. Okay. This is what I say over myself. And they're going to pop this on the screen. Okay. If you want to take a screenshot, this is what I do. Okay. Oh, okay. That means I have to read slow. Okay. Every morning, sometime before I hit the car, I will pray this. Okay, it's a declaration, okay? My body is healed because Jesus took stripes on his back for me. Isaiah 53, right? 1 Peter 2:24, right? Okay? He carried my sicknesses and disease and pain for me. Because I am healed, I declare no sickness or disease can live on my body. Amen. They all die when they touch me. My body is in perfect health because of Jesus' stripes. Every part of my body functions properly. Amen. My organs and all the other systems, okay? And I am disease-free. My brain, my heart, my liver, my kidneys, every other organ is working perfectly in Jesus' name. My sugar and cholesterol levels are perfect. My blood pressure is perfect. Hallelujah. My metabolism is functioning perfectly. And all the other systems work perfectly in my body in Jesus' name. That's pretty much what I say every day. Okay? Okay. Praise the Lord. So, I'm going to speak this over my life every day. How many of you speak that over your life?
I know. I've heard some of you. All right?
All righty, okay? Okay? So, and guys, it's not just over your body. You can do this for every area of your life. Every area of your life. Now, you know, you'll alter your scriptures, okay? Amen? Okay, so let's talk about the sword, and then we'll wrap up, all right? Sword, all right? If you're taking notes, write this down. The sword pushes things out. The sword. And puts the enemy on the run, okay? So I use my sword for temptation. What? Jesus did too, right? Where is he? He's in the wilderness being tempted by who? The devil, right? Okay, he's tempting him three times to do some things wrong, righty? Okay, by the way, listen. Temptation is not a sin. That chocolate cake on my table is not a sin. Okay. That button that you press on your computer is not a sin until you take hold of it and you do it, all right? And then things become sin, all righty? So temptation. Jesus wasn't sinning, okay? So Jesus is in the wilderness. He's being tempted by the enemy, the devil, to do some things wrong. And what does Jesus do? What? Now, wait a minute. This is Jesus, the Son of God. He always existed. But he's living in this body on the earth, and he's got this brain like you and I have on the earth. And what did he do? He took a sword out, and he spoke God's word, okay? And every time he spoke the word, the Satan would come after him again. And then he'd come, and finally he'd just flee. All right? So if you're being tempted, get your sword, get the word of God, and say, you know, I remember a while back, that's a nice way of saying that, I realized that I was a complainer. I was just always negative, complainer. All right? And it was just an easy road for me to walk into. It's terrible. Shouldn't be doing that. So I started getting the sword out, and I would say, my words minister grace and peace to the hearer. My words are words of encouragement, okay? So occasionally I slip into that, but I catch it within 1 second. I'm like, ooh, that's a complaint. I'm not doing that. And I just start saying that, okay? So maybe you've got an anger thing going on or whatever. How about get some words going, all righty? Amen. So, you can do this for every area of your life. If you're battling something in your emotions, okay? If you're battling something physically, you're battling something going on in your finances, a relationship, okay? This is the Word of God, and it can be a shield, and it can be a sword in your life. Amen? Okay, so how do I finish here? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you one more story. I was talking to a friend probably about 3 months ago, and she says, oh, man. I said, how you doing? What's new? She goes, oh, man, it didn't look good, but it ended good. I go, what happened? Her husband hadn't been feeling good, and he came home, and he's, you know, it's Saturday, and he took a nap on the sofa. How many like Saturday or Sunday naps on the sofa? Why do kids complain about naps? Why? Right? Come on. So, but when he got up, he was like, honey, I got to go to work. I'm going to be late for work. And she goes, whoa, today's Saturday. What's going on? She walked up, and she could feel him. He was burning up. So like the good wife, she runs around, gets that thermometer, sticks it in his mouth, and he's got 103 plus. She says, get your butt in the car. We're going to the ER. All right? So get in the ER, and he's got some crazy pneumonia. And there's different kinds of pneumonia. He's got some crazy pneumonia, so they hook him up and, you know, all those bags of antibiotics and stuff like that. The next day, the doctor comes in, does his rounds, and he said, hey, listen, buddy, had you come in one day later, you'd be on one of those breathing thingies, whatever you call that, Laura. Ventilators, thank you. My people, okay. All right, so the doctor left, and the wife was there, and she, you know what he did? You know what they did? They grabbed hands. And they prayed, Father God, I thank you, according to Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, according to 1 Peter 2, 24, and they started rattling off these scriptures. I thank you that with your stripes I'm healed. I thank you that no weapon formed against me can prosper on my body. I just say, whatever pneumonia cootie you are, I curse you and I command you to leave my body. I thank you my body is restored and strong in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, Pastor D, but he was in the hospital. Come on. Could you speak the word also, all right? Now, I love my doctors and I love medicine, but they are not the end all. And how about you start, why not speak God's word, okay? So he was discharged quickly and got over that and stuff like that. So I just want to just encourage you, okay? Just want to encourage you, speak. All right, bow your heads, close your eyes. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that you have given us a sword and a shield and a belt. You've given us great, precious, mighty promises, your word. We thank you. We thank you for your word. And your word is not magic, it's not abracadabra, but your word is true. And Father, we thank you for opening our eyes today and our ears today and our understanding to speak your word in every situation. Our shield, keeping our shield up for protection, and our sword to just get that devil out, okay? So we thank you. We thank you for your word. And some of you here, maybe it's time to remember you have a sword. And it's time to start speaking first. You know, I love when people say, oh, by the way, why don't we just pray at the end of all this? Okay, but how about first? So who, you know, if that's you, just say, yes, Lord, I've just been really lax in my sword. Okay? And if you've had some things that didn't turn out the way you thought, the way you spoke with God, just say, that's okay. I'm up at bat. And I am speaking your word again. And I thank you, Father, for your word. It is powerful. And it is working in my life and people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love you guys. So my kid in Kansas always calls me up. She goes, Mom, how was church? I had a blast. I just had a great time. But I hope I encouraged you, exhorted you, and I really want to challenge you as we go into 2023 that this word will play a greater part in your life, all right? Spend time in it, right? Turn off whatever you've been turning on. Set aside time. Amen? Okay, we love you. Stand up. You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You are blessed coming in, and you are now blessed going out. And I thank you, Father, that you have words that are powerful coming out of your mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, have a super day one. Anybody eating pork and sauerkraut?